In any Pokemon game, three things are certain. A defunded police force of a single 10-year-old, free healthcare, and an early game regional bird Pokemon. And it's not just birds. You'll find regional bugs, rats, and birds immediately after you leave your house for the first time in any new Pokemon adventure. But most of these early game Pokemon are complete garbage. Which makes sense, they aren't meant to be the stars of competitive battles. They're there to teach little Timmy how the game is supposed to work. At least until he finds stronger Pokemon further down the road and banishes those weaklings straight to the Shadow Realm. Sorry, wrong franchise. What I meant to say is banish straight to Box 1, just like Gary did to his Raticate in Pokemon Red and Blue. But while almost all of these, what I'll call, Route 1 Pokemon, are just like Raticate, utter trash in competitive battles, the Route 1 birds have somehow soared above not only the other Route 1 Pokemon, but even above legendary Pokemon. So, how did the Route 1 birds do it? Those little bugs and rats couldn't dream of putting up a fight against even a washed-up legendary. Well, maybe a level 1 Rattata can, but let's ignore that. Cause I've counted 5 Route 1 birds who have risen up to become really strong picks in competitive play. Which is somehow like half of all of them. I don't even know if half of all legendaries are viable competitively. Anyway, let's start with the newest Route 1 bird, Kilowattrel. Most of the new age Pokemon get either an exclusive move or an exclusive ability, and Kilowattrel is no exception. Kilowattrel gets the exclusive ability Wind Power, which boosts the power of its electric type moves during Tailwind or whenever it gets hit by a wind move, which is not a new Pokemon type you've never heard about. It's just what Pokemon has decided are any of these moves. So Wind Power is a decent ability, especially because Kilowattrel itself can set up a Tailwind. But would you believe me if I told you it's actually its least used ability? See, unlike the similar Wind Rider ability that Bramblegast is known for, Wind Power doesn't give Kilowattrel an immunity to those wind moves, so it's still vulnerable to taking a lot of damage from moves like Blizzard, Heatwave, and even Icy Wind. And speaking of Icy Wind, Kilowattrel's most commonly used ability is Competitive, an incredibly strong ability for competitive Pokemon. Because synonymous with competitive Pokemon is, of course, in... You know what? I'm not even gonna say it, cause I see you guy in the comment who leaves a timestamp on every single video whenever I first mention Incineroar. Anyway, Competitive boosts the user's special attack by a massive 2 stages anytime the opponent lowers its stats, whether that's through an ability like Intimidate or a move like Icy Wind. It's also a great supportive ability in a way because just the fact that it deters your opponent from even sending out their Incineroar against your physical attackers is a huge benefit. But Kilowattrel's Volt Absorb ability has seen success as well, especially whenever Archaludon is popular with its busted signature move Electro Shot. Overall, Kilowattrel's stats aren't the best, but they are distributed pretty well. It's really fast, and its extremely low HP and defense stats are salvageable, as long as it's holding a Focus Sash. It can use its Blazing Speed to support the team by setting up a fast Tailwind, use its ability to deter Intimidates from hindering your physical attackers if not outright power itself up, and the only single type that resists the combination of electric and flying type damage are fellow electric types. So while Kilowattrel isn't competitive whenever legendaries are included in official tournaments, in more limited formats where overpowered Pokemon are banned, it's actually a really solid pick. Immediately after Scarlet and Violet's release, a competitive Kilowattrel finished in 9th place at a regional championship in the UK, and at a Latin America international championship just this past November, a Volt Absorb one also achieved a very respectable 12th place finish. Alright, next up is not only arguably the best Route 1 bird Pokemon ever, but one of the best Pokemon period of the last 10 years, Talonflame. Now, I've joked about this for those same last 10 years, but it's literally a joke just how bad Talonflame's stats are. I mean, it's frailer than not even fully evolved Dartrix, yet has a worse attack stat than Amoongus. So how has Talonflame actually been good for so long? Well, let's go back to 2014 and look at Talonflame in its original state, because spoiler alert, it was actually so good that Game Freak hit the body hard with a tremendous, very powerful nerf. Talonflame has a really strong ability, Gale Wings, which gives any flying type move it uses an increased priority, allowing it to move before most other attacks. This is incredibly useful when supporting your team with Tailwind, as we know Pokemon like Tornadus and Whimsicott, who can also use Tailwind with an increased priority, have been really strong Pokemon historically as well. But Gale Wings is only active when Talonflame is at full HP, so it's an ability with some counterplay. Maybe you get damaged by an even faster move like Extreme Speed or Fake Out, turning off Gale Wings before you can make use of it. Or maybe you can make use of it, but Talonflame's strongest flying type move, Brave Bird, turns off Gale Wings after just one use, thanks to its recoil damage. But from Talonflame's release in 2013 with X and Y, up until the end of 2016 with the release of Sun and Moon, Gale Wings didn't have any HP limitation. It really needed to get off Twitter and touch some grass, cause it was always online, no matter what Talonflame's HP was. And as you can imagine, this was incredibly broken and completely made up for Talonflame's horrendous stats. Not only did it have an increased priority Tailwind, like a Prankster Tornadus, but it could also use the increased priority Brave Birds every single turn. That's a 120 base power priority move, by the way. For comparison, Mach Punch is 40 base power, the exclusive Jet Punch is 60, and the strongest of all, Extreme Speed, is only 80. Needless to say, Talonflame dominated this era of competitive Pokemon, with 3 regional championship victories, 3 national championship victories, and even a world championship victory. After Talonflame was deservedly nerfed, it remained pretty good. It still had the ability to reliably set up Tailwind for your team thanks to Gale Wings, but since spamming priority Brave Bird every turn was rightfully no longer an option, Talonflame pivoted more towards bulk and support, utilizing moves like Taunt and Will-O-Wisp, while players trained it to be more defensive. It didn't feel anywhere near as overpowering to play against anymore, but it was still good, so props to Game Freak for how they handled it. In just Scarlet and Violet, it's won 3 regional championships, and Talonflame running acrobatics without a held item even won Japan's national championship. And I alluded to this in the intro of the video, but what's even more amazing about Talonflame is that it's even had success in formats with the restricted legendaries. It got a number of championship titles in 2016 before its nerf, but even in the most recent restricted format of Scarlet and Violet, Regulation G, it got a top 32 finish at a regional championship, a top 64 finish at the World Championship, and even as high as a 9th place finish at the North American International Championship. So as we transition from 2024 and a regulation without any legendaries into 2025 back to a regulation with the most powerful of legendaries, don't forget about Talonflame as an option for Tailwind support amongst the sea of Whimsicott's and Tornaduses. Or is it Tornadi? Anyway, let's talk Corviknight next. Introduced in Sword and Shield, Corviknight gets the signature ability Mirror Armor, which bounces any negative stat drops right back to the opponent. This is obviously huge against the litany of Pokemon with Intimidate. But it's also great against Pokemon trying to control the speed of the battle with moves like Icy Wind or Electro Whip. And honestly, it's just so satisfying whenever you punish your opponents for their lucky stat drops with Moonblast or Shadow Ball. But you know what else is satisfying? The smell of fresh trading cards. Before I got into competitive Pokemon, I actually used to compete in Yu-Gi-Oh! TCG tournaments. And while I did love the thrill, and of course the smell of opening packs, sometimes I needed to make sure I got the exact card I was chasing. And that's why I like Arena Club auctions. I often used to buy cards via auction in order to try and get them at more affordable prices, but unfortunately, on some of the platforms I used to use, that sometimes came with a price. But backed by Hall of Famer Derek Jeter, with Arena Club auctions, there's no buyer's premium and no hidden costs. What you bid is what you pay. And all listings are graded cards, with no shill bids and no bots upping the price either. After getting really into Pokemon Pocket recently, I've gotten interested in trying out the physical Pokemon TCG, so I've been eyeing some of Arena Club Auctions' Pokemon card listings as my go-to choice. So whether you're chasing something rare or looking to offload your latest pull, Arena Club Auctions is where collectors win. Go and check out which featured auctions are trending right now at arenaclub.com/RayRizzo. That's arenaclub.com/RayRizzo. Thanks again to Arena Club for sponsoring this video. Let's get back to Corviknight. But with this signature ability, it's clearly been designed to fill a defensive and supportive role on teams, and its base stat distribution really backs that up. It's not very fast, and its attack is mediocre, but its HP and defenses are pretty solid. Combine that with a typing that only has 2 weaknesses, yet 8 resistances and even 2 immunities, it's a tough Pokemon to actually knock out. And like most flying types, Corviknight learns one of the best support moves in the game for teams that want to go fast. Tailwind. Wolfglick took a standard support Corviknight with Tailwind to a 9th place regional championship finish just a few months ago, and similar Tailwind support Corviknights have even finished as high as 2nd at previous regional and international championships. But Corviknight is surprisingly flexible in how you can use it. In fact, just a month after Wolf's 9th place finish, 3-time regional champion Alberto Lara took a bulk up and roost Corviknight to a 10th place finish. The beauty of bulk up with Corviknight is, not only does it boost its mediocre attack to a level where Brave Bird actually becomes a huge nuke, but Corviknight also learns Body Press, which takes advantage of bulk up's defense boost as well. This is the kind of set where if opponents lack good fire or electric special attackers, Corviknight can single-handedly win the entire game. But by far the most creative way of using Corviknight goes to 3-time regional champion and 1-time international champion, Nils Dunlop, who took Corviknight to a first place finish utilizing psychic terrain. You see, this was another Corviknight without Tailwind, instead going for the bulk up and roost set. But instead of body press, Nils taught his Corviknight the move Power Trip, and gave it a psychic seed to boost its special defense with the psychic terrain. This made Corviknight even tougher to KO, but also provided an immediate boost for Power Trip, which gets stronger and stronger for each stat boost Corviknight has. Psychic Seed gives it one boost, and each use of Bulk Up gives it two. So you can see how Power Trip can get out of hand really fast. It also allows Corviknight to do massive damage to Pokemon it normally can't even touch, like Goldingo. But like Talonflame, Corviknight also had some success amongst even the restricted legendaries, with its best finish coming at the North American International Championship back in Regulation G, where Alberto Lara again took a Bulk Up, Roost, and Body Press set to an impressive 36th place finish in a field of almost 1,000 players. So, maybe another Route 1 bird to keep an eye on as we return to these restricted legendary formats. Alright, this next Route 1 bird was a victim of the infamous Dexit in Sword and Shield, but prior to that has always historically been a decent Pokemon. I'm talking about Staraptor. Now, Staraptor has had a number of top finishes each generation it's been legal, even winning a national championship way back in 2014, but Generation 9 has probably been its worst. In fact, even banning all Legendary and Paradox Pokemon like Regulation H didn't help it. Its best, and really its only good finish in Scarlet and Violet, was at a regional championship back in 2023 where it finished 10th. But Staraptor is a one-trick bird. It's used the exact same strategy for the past 20 years. A Choice Scarf as its held item to outspeed most other Pokemon, Brave Bird in close combat for big damage, Intimidate because we know how broken that ability is, and U-Turn for when it really wants to do its best Incineroar impression. But the one move that has single-handedly kept it relevant in competitive play is Final Gambit. Final Gambit is typically seen to assist teams that rely on setting something up. For example, with a Trick Room team where you have a really strong sweeper like Torkoal or Ursaluna waiting in the back, you're perfectly happy to trade a lead Staraptor for one of your opponent's Pokemon. Because not only does this remove a threat that could potentially stop you from setting Trick Room up, but a one-for-one trade benefits the Trick Room player, because it reduces the number of Pokemon you need to KO during your limited 5 turns of Trick Room. Not to mention, it lets one of your powerful Trick Room sweepers hit the field for free, because you won't need to risk taking big damage by switching it in. Though there isn't anything wrong with Staraptor's singular strategy. The problem is that Scarlet and Violet brought us a better Pokemon that can do the exact same thing, Annihilate. See, Annihilate is also fast and strong, but its ghost typing means it's immune to Fake Out, a very common way to punish Choice Scarf Staraptor. Not only that, the most common Fake Out Pokemon is, of course, Incineroar, whose Intimidate severely weakens a physical attacking Staraptor. But Annihilate in its Defiant ability punishes the opponent for sending out Incineroar. So while Staraptor doesn't see much success anymore, even when legendaries get banned, I wanted to cover it briefly in this video just to point out it's still a good Pokemon that's had success almost every generation. And if there's ever a time when Annihilate is the one who gets Dexited, Staraptor may get its chance to shine once again. Alright, this last Route 1 bird Pokemon is currently one of the strongest Pokemon in the entire game, even with all these broken restricted legendaries. Yep, it's Pelipper. Now, if you're new to following the official competitive Pokemon tournaments, you may be wondering, why in the world would anyone use Pelipper even when Kyogre's allowed? I mean, it's one of the strongest legendary Pokemon ever. But before we answer that, let's first look at what makes it so good in formats without restricted legendaries. And to put into context just how good Pelipper is without any legendaries allowed, this is one of the most recent official tournaments from this past December, where over 30% of the highest finishing players had Pelipper on their team. That's twice the percentage of you guys who are subscribed, so go hit that subscribe button. It's free. Okay, the first place to look is obviously its ability, Drizzle, which calls forth heavy rain for 5 turns. In formats without restricted legendaries, this has paired really well with Pokemon like Urshifu and Landorus, while in formats where all legendaries are banned, it's been Pokemon like Archaludon and Basculegion. But if Pelipper was just a Drizzlebot whose job was only to set up rain for other Pokemon, why wouldn't Politoed, who just has better all-around stats, be the Pokemon of choice? Well, Pelipper and Politoed actually have almost identical special attack and speed. That means all those extra stat points went straight to Politoed's bulk, which would normally be pretty good. But Pokemon has one held item to compensate for that. I'm of course, again, talking about the Focus Sash, preventing it from being knocked out in one hit. So, Pelipper's strength lies not in its stats, but its moves. And while Politoed can KO anything trapped in a karaoke room with it, it's tough to pull off unless your name's exactly Wolf Click. Pelipper, though, learns two of the best support moves in the entire game, Wide Guard and, again, Tailwind, with the former keeping its teammates safe from some of the game's strongest attacks, and the latter helping them move before opponents. But how about that comparison between Pelipper and Kyogre? Well, there's some similarity here. Like Politoed, Kyogre doesn't offer a team much support aside from the rain. Being a restricted legendary, though, that shouldn't be its role anyway. It needs to be the team captain, the main Pokemon relied on to dish out big damage. And to be fair, Kyogre does excel at that, but so do a bunch of other restricted legendaries. This is all to say that Pelipper and Kyogre just aren't competing for the same slot on a team. Because if you have Pokemon that want the rain in effect, like Urshifu or Landorus, you can get that from Pelipper in addition to its amazing support moves, without using up your one restricted legendary team slot. And honestly, Pelipper's Wide Guard gets even better in these restricted legendary formats. Astral Barrage, Glacial Lance, Terra Starstorm, so many of the most powerful restricted legendary's best moves are blocked by Wide Guard. And Pelipper's lower speed stat can even be a good thing, like on Trick Room teams utilizing Calyrex Ice Rider, just like the one that finished second at this past World Championship. And that's not even Pelipper's best finish. It's won 6 major official championships in Scarlet and Violet alone, 3 with restricted legendaries and 3 without. And it's got an additional 3 championships dating all the way back to Sun and Moon when it was first given the Drizzle ability. So forget this year being the year of the snake. It should be the year of the bird, as Pelipper and all its Route 1 friends will no doubt continue seeing success all year long.